This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here on the seventh day of March, along with Sean Balint, Tim Mize here with you on WSMI Sports Saturday. So glad you're along for the ride today. And Sean, this is a very exciting special show. It's the first of two Steve Kimbrough tribute shows. And when you win 838 games, fourth most in the state, one show don't cover your career, you got to do two.
Oh, absolutely. It calls for it. And, you know, this really transcends basketball. We know it is a tough time for small town America, especially the small towns that aren't within 25 miles of a major population center. The struggles are well documented. And you know, I'll tell you, having something like a great basketball program, the tradition and lineage of a coach with some staying power, it really makes a difference. I mean, try to picture Nokomis over the last many years without him.
You can't do it.
No.
You can't do it. And, you know, each section of the state has those traditional powers. You know, down in the southern part, Nashville, Pinckneyville, Totopolis, of course. You just know year in, year out, those small public schools are going to be right there. Nokomis has been that version in the central part of the state for the better part of 50 years, quite honestly, because it did predate Steve Kimbrough a little bit. But he took it to a whole nother level where it was to the point, until they're not good, why wouldn't they be good? You know, every once in a while, you say, people say, well, Nokomis is going to be down this year. Why? Why? Well, what makes you say that? Until I see it, I will not believe it. And that was always the most remarkable thing to me, Sean, about Coach Kimbrough was the consistency. Because every small town, you're going to have lulls in talent. That just happens. There's going to be certain groups, sometimes it's just one group, sometimes it's two classes stacked back together, where there's just no talent there. It happens. And that had to happen at some point in the last 39 years at Nokomis, but he was so good, they overcame it.
You know, some coaches, it's tough for them to adjust, tough for them to handle that bottom of the curve when suddenly the talent pool drops and they lose their edge. That didn't happen with this fella. I mean, he brought excellence no matter how good the talent he could put out there on the hardwood.
His first season was the 81-82 season. They went 8-14 that year. Three of his first 4 years, losing seasons. Now, the 1 year in there, they went to the state tournament. So it's like the writing, I think, was on the wall early. You know, struggles, okay, through your first 4 years, but you get a trip to state in there, and I think he only had one losing season after those first 4 years. And
wow,
that, it's just remarkable. 28-20-win seasons for Coach Kimbrough, 15 regional titles, 5 sectional titles, 4 trips to state, runner-up in 08, finished third in 2013, lost in the quarterfinals in 82 and 97. And the thing about Nokomis is, when they won the sectional, they usually won the super. They went 4-1 in super sectionals under Steve Kimbrough. Their only loss back in 2006 to Central A&M. And as it turns out now, old Central A&M turned out to be kind of the bugaboo for Nokomis. Ended their season the last 3 years, the previous two in the sectional championship, of course, the regional final this year. And for Central A&M, it was just one of those draw things, Sean. It's all about the draw. If you get a good draw, you know, you're fine. But for Nokomis, the last few years, they've been great. But Central A&M was always in their way.
That's tough. A classic rival. And they built something pretty impressive over there. But, boy, going back to that record in the Supers, that is all about the magic of his coaching style. Coaching the same way in week one as you do in week whatever.
And that's,
you know,
hard to do.
You know, yeah, and you see some coaches like, well, this is the championship game. I got to make some speech that looks like something out of Hoosiers. I've got to amp it up. Yeah. And I think sometimes maybe that throws the kids off a little bit.
I think you're exactly right. You can't trick high school kids. They're perceptive. They know what's going on. And I think you're exactly right. A lot of coaches, they get into those big games, and they might say the right things, but their body language maybe tells a different story. And the kids realize, oh, coaches act a little bit different. This must be a big game. Coach Kimbrough never acted different. He just stayed that kind of even keeled. And if you know Coach Kimbrough, thinking, wait a minute, even keeled? I don't know about that. But he never showed panic on the outside. Like, I loved watching that man just sit on the bench. He'd cross his leg, put his arm across the back of the chair, and just watch. And if they would make a mistake, he'd just kind of shake his head. And when the kid came off the floor, the instruction came to how to correct the mistake. And we look forward next, we're going to talk to Brett Teakin. He played for Coach Kimbrough early.
Good stuff.
And that'll be a lot of fun. But the people who played for Coach Kimbrough in the 80s, they're quick to tell you, he's mellowed quite a bit since his early days. And I don't doubt for a second that he had, Sean. But he always had that old school mentality. Even in his quote-unquote more mellow days here towards the end of his career, he still had that look in his eye. It's like, don't mess with Steve Kimbrough on game day.
You know, that's something to be able to adapt to the times and be true to yourself. That is a balancing act, and he pulled it off.
He did.
I think of Gene Hackman, you know, going back to normalcy and all that, maintaining an even keel. Yeah. That scene in Hoosiers, taking a tape measure. How tall is it up there at Butler Fieldhouse or whatever it's called?
Right.
Yeah, no, 10 feet, sir.
How about that?
It wasn't as dramatic, I don't think, but that mentality, consistency, that's the beauty of it all.
He expected his kids to bring it, whether it was the opening game of the year against Joe Schmo, or if it was the state championship game against, you know, Chicago Simeon, for whatever, you know, who doesn't matter. He didn't care who they were playing. It was, we have an expectation of play, and we are going to meet that level. I don't care how good the opponent is or how bad the opponent is. We're going to play the Nokomis way for 32 minutes. And if you don't play hard, guess what? I'll find somebody who will play hard. And that was always the thing about those teams. They played hard all the time. And that, it sounds easy to do. Like, people who've never played sports, oh, just play hard. It's not that simple. You know, sometimes the game's not going well, and it's hard to dig down deep and play hard. Or if you're blowing somebody out, it's easy to take your foot off the gas. Nokomis never did. Now, they weren't down big very often over the last 39 years. That just didn't happen. They were up big a lot more than the other way, but it always stayed the same. You could never know if they were winning or losing, especially looking at Coach Kimbrough. You'll never know. It's like, they must be down by 25. Oh, they're up by 30. His first game against Vandalia, lost it. Bounced back, second game, beat North Green for his first career victory. That was 67-59 back in 1981. His last victory winds up in the regional semifinal against Macon Meridian last week. So for Coach Kimbrough, what a career. And Sean, it's hard to visualize Nokomis next year without him on the sideline. And his longtime assistant Brian Pisco is gone too. But you talk about just a completely different look and feel. That will be Nokomis basketball next year.
I think people are just going to look next to the team. There's some other guy.
Who's that?
I'm not ready for this. And I don't know. I think there's somewhere. I mean, I don't think anyone took him for granted, but it's like, well, just part of the package. He's going to be there, and that's part of the experience. And then all of a sudden, you know, the train stops.
I always try to appreciate greatness when it's in front of me, whether it's an individual player or an individual team. Even if I don't like the team, try to appreciate the greatness, because
yeah, absolutely.
When greatness is around you, enjoy it, because it's always a fleeting thing. And we'll see what happens with Nokomis moving forward. But we look forward to catching up with Coach Kimbrough here in just a few minutes on Sports Saturday and get his thoughts. I'm very curious to see what type, if he'll be in a nostalgic type of mood, or if he'll just kind of be in that same mindset where we just, you know, just did it. Like, he never overthought anything.
Yes.
It was always just, this is the game plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to execute what we do. And at the end of the game, we'll see where we're at.
Measured response, a beautiful thing. And I think, I look at the Nokomis basketball experience since we went to four classes. I love the fact that compared to some other areas, it seems like it was relatively unspoiled by the, 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A, that it's still relatively the same experience. Other areas of the state, it seems like it's been a little spoiled by that process.
Our schools around here have benefited greatly from the four-class system, mainly in the class 1A. I mean, think about Nokomis, the first year 1A, they got to the state championship game.
Yeah.
You know, and they've been back one more time since and took third. That was back in 2013. And they had some great, some of those, maybe his best teams were in, you know, the, that 90 range when it was a two class system. Maybe his, we'll find out today because I want to ask him if his best team actually made it to state. And coaches don't like to get into that a lot of times, you know, because they love all their teams. They love all their players. So when you start asking coaches to rank things, they generally don't like to do it.
And that's a lot of big, a lot of memories, a big memory bank to tap there.
Yes, it is.
But I just know some rivals were split in some areas, you know, well, we're not going to play each other at state because you're going to 1A, we're going to 2A, and it seems like that wasn't as much of an issue here.
Some scores from last night here. In 1A sectional final play at Casey Westfield, Central A&M locks down their third straight sectional title. They beat St. Anthony 57-43. In Dupo, Madison took care of West Central 59-52. Of course, West Central was, I think, ranked third in the state at the end of the year. They spent most of the year in that top spot. At Lewiston, Athens wins their first sectional since 1941. Beat Peoria Christian 75-58. So Athens sectional champs for the first time in a long time. In 2A, SHG sectional champs for the first time since 1948. They beat Porta last night 53-42. At Shelbyville, Breeze Modern Day beat Alton Marquette 42-27 for Modern Day, their first sectional title since the fourth place finish back in 2015. And at McLeansboro, Murfreesboro beat Nashville 47-37. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Steve Kimbrough. He has retired after 39 years on the Nokomis sidelines. We'll talk with Coach Kimbrough when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. And we're back here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Mize along with Sean Valent, and happy to be joined on the phone right now by Steve Kimbrough. Good morning, Coach.
Morning.
Well, how's the last week been for you? I would imagine a little different feeling.
Oh, I don't know. I went to a basketball game. Well, I went to the shootout, the three-point contest over at Casey. That was just a little, about a two-hour drive.
Nice.
But it was worth it. Evan Herbstreit advanced.
Yeah.
He'll shoot at Peoria. He made 11. So that was good to see. Alex just missed the cutoff. He had 8, and they had a shoot-off for the 9 for the final 4 spot. So the boys showed good for a team that doesn't really rely on a three-point shooting. Our boys did well.
And, you know, Coach, that is an interesting thing because you guys have the shooters, but with the style you want to play, you didn't have to rely on that three-point shot.
No, and you know, this year we probably shot more, and I can't say than the past, but Alex, whenever he got over his ankle injury coming back, you know, the latter part of the season was a big boost for us from the three-point line. And, you know, here's Herbie advancing, and I couldn't get him to shoot it. So, you know, it's just one of those things that that happened. I mean, Seth could shoot the three. Kendall could shoot the three. Carter could shoot the three. So, you know, they could all step out and do it. Sometimes they forgot that there was an inside game, too, though.
And, Coach, this was one of those years where you can never get away from the injury bug. From the start of the year, you just had a number of injuries. I don't know that you ever put the full complement of players on the floor that you thought you would. In your 39 years, was this one of the more frustrating seasons in terms of staying healthy that you had?
Well, it was you know, the long-term injuries with, you know, Clavin, Benny, you know, he like for third day of practice, he come up lame and he was out for the year. Mash, he comes along and, you know, Alex goes down, so he gets an opportunity to start. He lasts about 4 minutes. He blows out his knee. It's kind of long term. They had one of the freshmen that in practice, you know, he tore his knee up, and you know he was out. And then Alex missed about 2.5 weeks there with an injury. So it was frustrating in that respect. But it really wasn't as bad as a couple years ago. Whenever the whole team was sick, we never could get over it. I know that Carter's brother Braden, he'd missed like 6 games where he went through a couple bouts of the flu. That's one thing this year we didn't have. We didn't have the flu go through us. We had a couple guys didn't feel good, missed some practice, but ain't like, you know, the whole team was just down and out and didn't feel good. So, you know, I guess, you know, we'll trade a couple injuries for not having the whole team sick.
Yeah, it's always something, though, isn't it? Never a dull moment when you're in charge of a group of high school kids.
You know, it just it forces you to start thinking, okay, what do I do now? All right, what if this happens? You know, what if he ain't there, and what if he gets in foul trouble? It gives you – the bus ride gives you time to think about all the little scenarios that you got to play in your head and how you might have to react to them during the game.
Talking with Steve Kimbrough, of course, the Hall of Fame coach from Nokomis, retiring after 39 years on the sideline. And, Coach, what was your mindset on that bus ride over to Macon last Friday night for that regional championship? I know you always had that singular focus. So in your mind, you were thinking, we're beating Central A&M tonight.
I'm thinking, okay, how we stop Eaton, and then the rest of the team, we got to contain them, got to keep them in front of us. And for the most part, I mean, we held with 51 points.
Yeah.
But defensively, they did a number on us, too. And, we couldn't put enough points on the board. But if you look at what we did with them as far as maybe slowing them down and keeping their score down, we were successful in that respect. But, offensively, we couldn't generate enough points. But, that's the process I go through every game. Yeah. You know, like I say, I sit there and I play the scenarios. If he's in foul trouble, what do we do? Who can play what position? And like I say, that's part of every coach goes through that.
Now, I tell you what, over the last 3 years, Nokomis Central A&M, that turned into a really solid rivalry. Now, I know they beat you all three times, but still, nonetheless, that was a classic postseason rivalry here the last 3 years.
Well, 3 years ago, Coach's boy come off the bench and just killed us over there with threes. I think he hit about six or seven of them. You know, last year we threw a scare in them in the last few minutes and had the lead and couldn't protect it. Mm-hmm. After coming back and being down about 12, and this year we just couldn't hang with them. We maybe lost a little more in attrition than what they had. Mm-hmm. One thing I will say is, talking with their coach before the game and afterwards, whenever they recognized me in my retirement, that the whole team from A&M come over and shook my hand. That meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Well, Coach, in these recent years, I know we hear about burnout and everything else. How important or how much easier was it to coach as a semi-retired teacher, semi-retired educator, as you've been out of the full-time realm, I guess, for a while now?
It's no different. I still had coaches over here. I could talk to Brian Pisco or Paul Watson, my assistant coaches, and, they saw the kids every day. And if there was something going on, I got a text message. I knew what was going on. It wasn't long before we had a kid in here, and they knew that I could get information. I had a lot of eyes out here at the school keeping, track of what was going on, what they were doing.
And I tell you what, Coach, there's no way as a high school kid I want Coach Kimbrough getting a text message saying that I've been messing up. That's not what I want.
Well, there ain't none of them want that. and it didn't happen often. So that goes back, we talk to our kids that, you're a basketball player 24 hours a day, 12 months out of the year. You're not just an in-season player, that you represent your school, you represent our team, and you act like that, and you carry, that responsibility with you all the time.
Along
the
line,
it's stuck with them.
Yes. Along the lines of educating, of course, when – you were on the floor after your final home game against Edinburgh. Your kids presented you with a nice plaque, and you said, hey, this is a good-looking plaque. Makes a former shop teacher proud.
Yeah, it was a pretty good-sized chunk of wood. And that was something that Mr. McDonald had arranged for me and Brian to have our kids there and present the plaques to us. And that was a surprise to me and him both. And again, it was a good honor for us and for our kids to be there and make that presentation.
Steve, you knew coming into the year that this was going to be a situation where the last time you went to a gym, you were most likely going to be recognized for your outstanding career. Is that something, as the season went long, did you embrace it? Or the more it happened, were you just like, come on, let's go play?
Probably it was more like, come on, let's go play.
Yeah.
But I appreciated everything. Alt Marquette presented me with a nice plaque over there. The AD, Vance from Hillsboro, he gave me he made up a nice little certificate before we played and gave me that. So, and the recognition, regional and so on, those are things that, and then my last home game. Yeah, those are special moments. I don't know that I did anything special to deserve it, but, I'm glad that, you know, they did it, and I did appreciate it.
Talking with Steve Kimbrough here. And, Coach, now let's get back in to the early days of your head coaching career. 1981, 1982, your first season. But before you were hired, take us through the process there where you decide, I want to apply to be the basketball coach at Nokomis.
Well, I actually tried to talk Coach Huth out of not retiring first. You know, I've been with Maury for 2 years, had 1 year under Roger Kraft. So I was still pretty green, and Maury had went through a very tough year and, you know, caught some flack from the community and in the newspapers with some letters to the editor, and that just, you know, it didn't set well with him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we tried to convince him, but, he was a little stubborn, like most coaches, and, you know, he'd made his mind up. So it was one of those things where I wasn't ready to do it, didn't think I was ready to do it, but it was the opportunity where, yeah, I've got to step in and I guess give it a shot. And it was a learning process. Good thing that, you know, I'd had Maury for 2 years to kind of guide me and show me a different side of basketball with a man-to-man. And then I went back to relying on what, you know, Lauren had taught me as a player with the 1-2-2 and tried to combine the parts that I liked about both of them. And so, you know, not just basic 1-2-2, but not just a man-to-man. And we did. We played man-to-man for a couple years. I had an outstanding bunch of seniors for a couple years, and then we went to man. We lost our aggressiveness in the zone. And then after that, you know, we went back, and I kind of readjusted what I wanted to do and how I could be aggressive in the zone as well as, you know, a man-to-man, and kind of combine the two. And as they always say at the clinics you go to, build your philosophy, and mine just kept growing from there. And then Brian Pisco in, you know, for the last 25 years, you know, he came through a system similar to what I did. And, you know, we meshed so well together. You know, he'd go down and work with post players or the guards and the wings. I could work with post players. We could both relate to who he was teaching. Then we could throw them together and make a team out of them.
You know, that's always the joke you hear people outside of Nokomis. Yeah, they come out of the womb playing the 1-2-2 in Nokomis. And you're able to remember days before the 1-2-2, but what I just gathered from what you just said there, Coach, and any great zone has man-to-man principles. So while, yes, 1-2-2 ball press, you guys always had that almost pressure man-to-man style about your defense.
Yeah, we always, and you know, if, you know, used to joke the area coaches where you're talking about one, I said, no, we just play a man-to-man. We're so bad at it, it looks like a zone. You know, but, you know, Maury played a man-to-man, and I can remember me and Maury having a conversation with the kids who grew up with the zone for those couple years and explaining the similarities between the two. Yeah. You know, weak side, strong side, you know, flat triangle, you know, how you play off the man. The only difference is in a zone, you're responsible for an area on the floor and the people in it. Mm-hmm. And a man-to-man, you know, your guy might be underneath, might be outside, and you're responsible for the man and whatever he's in. But you're still, and we always try to match up as many opportunities as we could. And that's, you know, with our full court pressure, even half court, looking for the traps, a little more aggressive than just the basic 1-2-2. But, you know, and that's something that the three-point shot changed everything. Yeah. You know, whenever it came in, what, 86 or 87, something like that, you know, you could just set back in your zone and plug everything up. You know, now, you know, and today, you know, you got kids shooting 40, 50% from out there. So, you know, and at 33%, it's a break even shooting 50% from the two. So, you know, that changed a lot of what had to be done and how you had to react to it. And we worked up with a couple of systems that we used around here. And, you know, and still, you know, teams would shoot well. And that goes back to what we talked earlier that, you know, how many ways can they beat you? And our way was they got to beat us from 20 feet. Yeah. You know, you can't give them transition points. You can't give them rebound second chance points. You can't give them dribble penetration and put as much pressure on them at 20 feet. And then that's kind of the philosophy that we use throughout every game.
You mentioned, Coach, that your first year you knew you weren't ready. I'm just curious, at what point did you think in your mind, now I've got it? This program, it is established the way I want. How long did that take?
Oh, probably about 12 years. You know, I can remember 10 years that I was really thinking about walking away. Hmm. And then after that, you know, everything kind of fell into place and the program starts running itself more or less and the kids know what to expect. But, you know, I, you know, you're talking 40 years ago, you know, it's hard to remember other than, you know, I know that I was ready and And I had an opportunity as a second year coach. I got to go state.
Right.
You know, and that's the one thing that I can, you know, remember. Even coach with more, you know, every coach, you want an opportunity to go play at the Assembly Hall. And my second year coaching, I got to do that. So, you know, what else is there? You know, it took me 14 years to get back too. So, you know, that's just those things that, you know, you have personal goals, and I was able to check a whole bunch of boxes on my personal goals my second year.
Absolutely. And of course, when we went from two classes to four classes, that drastically changed Nokomis's postseason paths and whatnot. And coach, I'm just curious. I know coaches hate it when someone tries to say, who was your best team? Who was your best player? I'm not going to ask you that.
Yeah, I ain't going to go there.
I know you're not.
And I said, you know, obviously the teams that got to state are special, and especially the one that we took second. My boy was on it. You know, that was playing a championship game. That may be the last box I had to check. That was maybe more special because my boy was there, but every team was special. Every team had their own characteristics, and to say one was more important than the other, some were more successful than others, but they all played hard. They all played the same way. And to try to say this one was better than that one. No, I can't go there.
I know you can't. I wasn't going to make you go there, but I know some of those teams you had in the mid to late 90s, those were as good as any team you could find anywhere.
You know, the years that, Payne won state, Shelbyville won state, and I mean, for about 6-7 years there, we just, every time region would come around, Thursday and Friday, we was playing Payne and Shelbyville. You know, if Shelbyville was good the year, then, you know, we'd see them on Friday night if we was able to beat Payne on Thursday night. And if Payne was good, we had to beat Shelbyville on Thursday night and play Payne on Saturday night. And, you know, those kids, you know, we had a lot of 24-win seasons through there, 22, 25-win seasons. In a two-class system, I'm sure that some of those could have very possibly made it to state. Even go back to you know, the last year whenever the two-class system, we had Johnson and Bauman, and we went and saw Teotopolis in the super sectional who beat us. So, you know, there's another team that they won, I think, 28 games in a row. So they lost the first two, and then they went undefeated the rest of the year until the Teotopolis beat us. So, you know, a lot of good teams, a lot of success, and again, it comes back to the hard work that the kids put into it.
And you mentioned the state championship game. Obviously, that's special. When you factor in that your boy is one of the lead players on the team, that has to be something, coach, as you think about it now especially. That was a special moment in time.
Oh, yeah. We just ran out of gas. We played so hard the day before against Warrensburg. I think, what was the score, 35-31. You know, real low score, but, I mean, they played a 1-2-2 and very good. They were ranked one at the time. And we played so hard to win that one. And I can remember at halftime talking to the kids. I think we were down 5 or 6 and, you know, just looking at them. And you know, my boy says, you know, I said, I just ain't got a lot left. You know, they were just out of gas. And that's tough because they still put everything on the line. Kyle Hirschman sent me a little picture gift for my retirement. It was a picture of me and Wade hugging after the game.
Neat.
And that was probably one of the best things that I ever could have got. Still chokes me up.
Well, the way times have changed, coach, I mean, it seems like the basketball program is something like a time capsule, a constant. And, you know, for those of us who hate to see some of the traditions that are dying today, it's a beautiful thing. But that being said, the way things are now, do you think if today was day one, you could go 39 years?
No, I don't think anybody ever plans on going 39 years at anything. It's just, you know, the success. Obviously, if we'd have been a sub-500 team, you know, two-thirds of the time, you know, the success makes going on a lot easier. And again, the program gets to a point where it runs itself, it develops itself with a little bit of leadership, but you know, the kids and the kids coming up know what they've got to do, and the, you know, all that thing just makes it easier. So, but to say you start out thinking, yeah, I'm going to coach for the next 30, 40 years, that ain't going to happen. And again, the success has got to be there, I think, to be able to stay that long. And it'd be tough to do to take with a bunch of, you know, sub 500 season. And not that your kids aren't working hard. It's just, you know, and who's to say? School board probably wouldn't even put up with it.
I do want to stress, if you're 39 years younger,
I didn't want to have you now
coaching through 60 or whatever.
Steve Kerber joining us here on Sports Saturday. And Coach, just a couple more for you. And when I would talk to opposing coaches when they're getting ready to play you guys, it was always sort of the same statement that would be made, that essentially the kids, it was in their head. The name, the Nokomis name in the front of the jersey was in their heads. Did you ever get that sense at some point where you realized we have a distinct mental advantage here against a lot of people we're playing?
Well, we push that on our kids.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, you know, Coach Wallace used to always say, you know, if they're spending half their time trying to figure out how to beat our pressure, then we're in their heads already.
Hmm.
And that, you know, that philosophy kind of stuff that we talk on them. And you know, we tell our kids, you know, this is what you are. You have a responsibility to uphold the tradition.
Yeah.
And we expect them to go out there and do that. And they did a good job of it. But, yeah, I mean, that's something that we rely on. It's something that's expected. You know, like my last home game here, we have a very smart fan base. Mm-hmm. You know, they've seen some good basketball. They know what good basketball looks like. They know what hard work looks like. As I said at the last home game, you know, that they really didn't expect you to win all the time, but they did expect you to play hard all the time.
Steve, the last thing for you, probably the greatest lore of Nokomis basketball is Christmas time, no holiday tournament, and I guarantee you, every single person who is listening to this right now in the central part of the state knows exactly what I'm going to say. Well, they practice for those 2 weeks, and they turn the heat up in the gym. That was always the main thing. You run, and you turn the heat up in the gym for 2 weeks, and you come out like this magically transformed different team. But that's not exactly true, is it?
No. This is all computer controlled now. You couldn't turn it up if you tried. Our kids, you know, the advantage that we had is we took a mental break. We took 4 or 5 days off. That's good for them. That's good for the coaches. And we had an opportunity to come back in. We knew what we had to work on. You know, you had 10, 12 games under your belt. You knew where your weaknesses were. So to come in and have that opportunity to work on those weaknesses, that was the main thing. And then coming back into where you could ease back into, you know, we went into a tournament where we're the big school as opposed to being the small school. So the schedule kind of helped that too. But after a couple games shaking the rust off, you know, then we start putting the pieces together, and we always – said, you know, around the Litchfield tournaments, whenever we'd start evaluating, you know, who our starters were and was there somebody that could give us more. And a lot of times changes to our lineup probably come, you know, towards the end of the Morrisville tournament and into the Litchfield tournament. So there's a lot of things involved, but turning the heat out in the gym, there was some running a little bit, and that was always, you know, 2 or 3 days of getting back in shape was always tough on them. But, you know, we survived. And again, myself personally, I liked the way we did it. I did not like a Christmas tournament. I didn't like playing at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that opportunity to take that mental break after doing summer ball and conditioning, and you get through your first month and a half of the season, you know, to just back off of it and catch your breath. I think it paid benefits for us. And, I've tried to suggest that to others. And again, there's guys that they couldn't live without a Christmas tournament, and that's fine. You know, we all don't have to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
All we got to do is make our kids believe that what we're doing is the right thing, and will help us win ball games.
And Steve, I know you had a lot of ceremonies the last couple of years, but the two ceremonies before the games when you played your buddy Neil Alexander and Lincoln, boy, those were two special nights right there.
Well, Neil really outdid himself up there with,
oh boy, that was
honoring Coach Wallace, and then they brought John back. A Fillmore boy, somebody I grew up with, and honored him with the football program that he had there, and I wasn't expecting anything for myself. The only one that got left out was Neil. Neil should have been honored in some way too, but I guess
right.
His day's coming if he ever decides to retire. The booger, you know, he wouldn't let me catch him. He just keeps putting wins up on the board. But I got him on average.
There you go. That's right. And Coach, hey, this year I finally got it down when I would say the trim on your uniform. I finally got to say in crimson.
All right. Terry Tote would be proud of you.
That's exactly right. Coach Kimbrough, I just want to say personally thank you for all that you've done, not only for Nokomis, but for the game of basketball over the last 39 years. It was always just a great joy to watch your teams compete over the years. You will be greatly missed, sir, and congratulations on a Hall of Fame career. And I guess just I'll give it to you here for one final moment. Anything you would like to say to the people of Nokomis, say to anybody, the floor is yours for one final time.
Just thank you for the support throughout the years. We've got some very good loyal fans, and I can't thank them enough for supporting myself, the coaching staff, the team, and again my coaches from junior high on up. Go down to the Mustang League and what they did. It's not what I did, it's what we did as a group, and then what we taught the kids. We got the kids to believe. So, I got, and I guess, whenever we lost, I took the heat for that. That was my fault too. So, I'll take, some thanks for organizing, but again, it was everybody involved, and for that, I thank them all. Thanks for the memories.
And you made a lot of memories, Coach. Started in Fillmore, 838 wins later, fourth all time in the history of state. Steve Kimbrough, thank you so much, and congratulations on your Hall of Fame career.
Thank you.
All right, Steve Kimbrough. And it'll never be the same, Sean.
No. Those folks only come around once in a lifetime. Yes. And it's not just for one school, but in an area.
That's exactly right. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we're going to catch up with Lincoln Wood head coach Matt Milberg, get his thoughts on Coach Kimbrough, what it was like to compete against Coach Kimbrough, and some of the things he learned from Coach over the years. Sports Saturday rolls on in just a moment. Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, Tim Eyes with Sean Berlin, and thanks so much to the great Steve Kimbrough for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. This is just the first of two tribute shows. We're going to have Matt Milberg with Lincolnwood coming up in just a moment. Then next week, Sean, we're going to talk with Dyke Burkett next week. I actually talked to him earlier this week, have a nice recorded interview, but we went a half hour with Coach Kimbrough. So we're going to have Dyke on next week. We're going to have Brian Pisco on next week. Of course, he stepped down along with Coach Kimbrough after 30 years on the sideline. We'll also slip in a little Nokomis baseball with Coach Pisco next week. They're going to be quite good. We're also going to catch up with Steve Moore, the old staunch coach. He's just a great historical guy, just one of those nuts and bolts coaching guys. So we'll get his thoughts on Coach Kimbrough here as well. That'll come up next week on WSMI Sports Saturday. Sean, I was just looking at this. You look at consistency. 39 years, all the wins. You know he was consistent. But his 500th win, February 7th, 2006. His 600th win, February 4th, 2010. His 700th win, February 20th, 2014. So 4 years in between and all happening in the month of February. That is a level of consistency that we've really never seen before and might never see again.
It's a magic month. Whew. Just a little milestone to get you ready for the postseason.
And then his 800th win, of course, came last January against Edinburgh. That was a special night in Nokomis. And Edinburgh, I guess, they drew the short straw, if you will, Sean. They were the opponent for number 800 and the opponent for the final home game.
Man, I'm telling you. I mean, they've basically disappeared when they rerouted Route 29. And then, yeah, here we go. It's like being the little fish put in the fish tank in biology class when I went to high school. And like, oh, here's a little guppy who's going to be sacrificed. But no offense. I don't want to get in trouble with my good Edinburgh friends who I have many of.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
My word. It's just, it's tough, but I guess someone has to do it.
I think we have Matt Milberg on the phone with us right now.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Hey, tell us about your night in Dupo last night, please.
Well, it was a big atmosphere down there in Dupo. Went down there for Sean Goble, 2 3-pointers, and he didn't make it, but packed house down there, and good Madison team, beat a good West Central team last night.
And, Matt, I remember we were talking, this was back around the Tito shootout early December, and I remember you said, Athens very well could wind up at state. You're about to look real smart, my man.
Well, we had that maybe a little lull in that shootout where we maybe would have lost the team, but and me and Jeff Johnson were good buddies, and he said, "Yeah, we'll come down and end up playing, end up not playing down there." But yeah, they're going to be in Supers against Madison on Tuesday.
Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers. And Matt, thank you for joining us here this morning to talk about Coach Kimbrough. And of course, you played them twice this year, beat them at Nokomis and lost a heartbreaker to them in the championship game of the Mohawk Classic. But just kind of talk to us about Nokomis week. When you know Nokomis is the next team on your schedule, just talk about kind of mentally the preparation that begins.
Well, I can't believe you want me to follow a Hall of Famer and listen to the way he talks about, you know, kids and the community. He did past 15 minutes on the show here, but I'll try to do my best. You know, it goes back to playing days, you know, just like you said, mental mentality about the kids and seeing the journey. But, we come off a Christmas tournament, and then we go right usually into them some days, and it's tough, but you know that the consistency that he has and what they're going to get, like he said, you're already working against the 1-2-2. But when I first started, I figured if I can't beat them, I'll join them in a way. And I stole their main offense. And me and my assistant, Josh, you know, he played in this system for a while. We thought, well, if we're going to play man, we'll just steal their offense. And we liked it, their continuity. And so whenever we play them, they're going to run it against us, and we would have seen in practice for the whole season. And that was a big advantage for us through the years. And I know, like, say, big advantage was only 3 wins against them and 13 losses or so, something like that crazy. But that was one of the big advantages for us.
And, of course, you were in the unique position. Not only did you get to coach against Coach Kimbrough, but you got to play against him back in the day. So talk to us about that as a high school kid getting ready to go in to that type of atmosphere.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, having that bigger gym is a disadvantage for him. Because playing in the smaller gym whenever we were playing was they were right on top of you, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was in Pony for those years, and I worked under Dan DeWerf. And when I went there, I'm like, well, I'm finally going to learn the secrets to this thing because he's going to run it 1-2-2. And I was at the junior high level. Well, he ran man. So I never did get the real secret from it, but, you know, like I said, having a good assistant, Josh, with me helped us along the way. But, you know, playing, you knew exactly what you're going to get, and I wish I could have the 154 turnovers I had in my career against the back. But I think when you talk about Steve, you talk about consistency, and that's what I look up to him the most is consistency year to year, and that's what I try to instill here. You know, again, we have different beliefs in our systems a little bit, but you just try to be consistent. I mean, in regional play here this last week, you know, I had 2 coaches come up to me and say, you know, your boys play with so much heart and so much passion. You guys are at another level, and that's what Steve's kids were. You know, so it makes me feel good whenever I hear that from other coaches, too. You know, cause that's what I told Steve, you know, 8 years ago whenever I started. And after every game, you know, you shake my hand, and this last one, when you shook my hand, we both had a little tear in our eye, mm-hmm. I think, and we really enjoyed competing against each other at this level.
It was always a special connection between Lincolnwood and Nokomis, just that short stretch of blacktop between the two. Of course, they used to co-op for years, but that has always been a great county rival between Lincolnwood and Nokomis. And when you were over there this year, that last regular season game you played at Nokomis, you guys had a lot to play for that night, going for the county sweep. You did it. And I thought that night, Coach, was one of those situations where it was textbook of how to handle the 1-2-2. It's a lot easier to say than to do. But that night, you guys did a great job of really using the volleyball lines as your sidelines.
Well, like I said, I give credit to the boys. They were the most focused they played all year. They were really ready to play that night. And, you know, like I said, my assistants, Bill and Josh, got us ready, too. And, you know, I hope to be a trivia question someday. You know, the last, you know, the last Lincolnwood team to play at Nokomis was able to beat the Goliath. That's for sure.
Right.
We did everything right that game, and I thought we really played well at Morrisonville too. I think we lost 2 buzzer beaters to them, and it was on the same exact situation where we hit a big 3 to go up on them, and then they hit the sideline and got a layup. So we still need to learn from those, that's for sure.
But, yeah, it was a great atmosphere there in Nokomis that night. We were happy to win a county sweep. That wasn't, I don't think, the main goal. You know, the main goal was just to compete and try to get better for this postseason run that we went on this year.
How did you make sure that your kids weren't focused on the lettering on the front of the jersey? Because we know over the years that had a lot to do when you were playing Nokomis. They were in your head before the tip-off. Really, as soon as the bus pulled out of your parking lot, you're thinking about it. So what did you do to get your team mentally prepared to play Kimbrough and Nokomis?
Truthfully, I switched the table. We told them as a staff that whenever they see the Lancers on the front of the jersey, they're going to get the man-to-man up your face.
There you go.
And that other team, you know, in the area, and even Steve. I mean, he always, and Brian. You know, I talk to Brian all the time, more so than I probably do Steve. And Brian says, we don't know how you practice it. You know, how do you get this pressure that you guys do? And so we kind of just flipped the table on them and said, I think they're more worried about us than we're worried about them for a change. And I think that helped, you know, a lot. But, you know, we did everything right again. And again, we shot the ball well. We handled the pressure and the press. And, you know, at Nokomis, always a tough place to play. And we did that night.
Matt, when we were at T-Toad's funeral last year, you, in those situations, you need some sort of levity, a good laugh, and you provided one whenever Coach Kimbrough came through and you shook his hand and you said, Coach, it sure is nice to shake your hand and know there's not a loss following it.
Especially in your home gym, where he beat us every year, I coach, and even played. So it was, I got me on that one, that's for sure. But yeah, it was a great experience. We were at.
Talk with Matt Milberg, the head coach of Lincolnwood. And, Coach, we'll get you out on this one. Just for you personally, what has Coach Kimbrough meant to you as a basketball coach?
I think the biggest thing is his consistency over the years, you know, even from when I was playing to when I was coaching, is you know what they're going to bring every night. And I hope to instill that in our players. You know, we're going to play hard defense. On a regular basis, and that's what Nokomis does. It doesn't mean if it's man or if it's zone. You know, a good zone looks like man, and a good man looks like zone. Mm-hmm. But the consistency of the boys defensively. And then offensively, I think the biggest thing taken away from him is time management and the ability to make a good shot into a great shot. You know, you never saw one too many Nokomis teams make mental errors on you know, maybe with 30 seconds on the clock, and then at the next possession, the other team gets the ball. Now it's two possessions for the other team and not Nokomis. You know, they really do a good job of managing time, not turning the ball over, all those things that are really crucial for, I think, 1A basketball. You know, if you get up to larger classes, you can make those mistakes, but consistent 1A basketball, making good decisions. And I think that's the biggest thing I'll take away from him.
Matt Milberg, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. And, hey, we'll talk to you probably again at Irish Days this summer. That's right around the corner.
I'll see you at the Chili Dome.
All right, sounds good. Thank you very much. Matt Milberg, the head coach of the Lincolnwood Lancers, joining us here on Sports Saturday to talk about Steve Kimbrough. And, of course, we'll have part two of our tribute show next week. And, Sean, I failed to mention and smacked me across the head, we're going to have Brett Tekin on next week as well. And Brett is probably the most qualified person to talk about Coach Kimbrough because he played for him. He was on that state tournament team in Coach Kimbrough's second year. So he played for the man in the 80s and then, of course, went on to be an extremely successful girls basketball coach at Hillsborough, winning the state tournament in 2006. So he played for him and then took some of the principles and some of the philosophies with him and folded it into his own outstanding high school coaching career. So we look forward to talking with Brett Tekin next Saturday. We're going to talk with Brian Pisco as well. We'll have our interview with Dyke Burkett, and we're going to catch up with Steve Moore and get his thoughts on the great Steve Kimbrough. Sean Belint, Coach Kimbrough, one of a kind, and I guess, as they say, they don't make them like that no more.
And the tough thing, if you're one of the coaches out there, it used to be that it was easy to say, well, I don't have to worry about being the best because we know who the best is.
Right.
He has been the best. He will be the best. And now, all of a sudden, I guess it's wide open for that honor.
The title has been vacated. And, of course, it'll be interesting to see who takes over for Coach Kimbrough, Matt Nokomis. And I will just simply say two words. Good luck.
Wow. That's a heck of a torch to pick up.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Hey, thanks to Steve Kimbrough for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. But more importantly, thanks to Coach Kimbrough for his 39 years of excellence on the sidelines at Nokomis. 838 wins, the fourth most in the history of this great state. So congratulations to Coach Kimbrough. Thanks to Matt Milberg for joining us to give his thoughts on the Hall of Famer as well. Part two of our Steve Kimbrough tribute show next week here on Sports Saturday. For Megan Cordy and Sean Belent, I am Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois, WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.